Hello, welcome to Kasinatian, Kasayuran, Kasaysayan, Kamatuuran. Experience, knowledge, history, truth. A show dedicated to discussing the latest topics of interest on Philippine politics and society from the perspective of Filipinos in general and Cebuanos in particular. This is your host, Ryan Dave Ryla, educator and voice in the wind. Today, we shall be talking about my experiences in the conduct of online classes. So I have listed here top 10 challenges that I encountered in the conduct of online classes. Now, in my institution, we have been able to conduct summer term 2020, but this was done in a modular format via what we would call as e-classes or online classes. Now, yes, there has been encountered, or there have been many problems encountered regarding the online classes, and I have outlined about 10 of these challenges, and I shall be outlining them from 10 to 1. No? Okay, so here we go. Top 10. Home duties. Perhaps it is, perhaps this is one of the least challenging aspects of the conduct of the online class, as I have been handling about 3 subjects on this e-class or distance learning for the past 6 weeks. I found that sometimes it conflicts with the duties that I have here at home, especially the chores. And certainly there have been times when I had to go out and help buy some groceries, that some of my classes have been disrupted in such a manner. In short, sometimes online classes tend to be, they tend to be very demanding of our time. I used to joke that it's a bit of a jealous mistress, no? Because home duties, they are very important for us, but as for me as an educator personally, I think that I have been forced to choose in many occasions whether I should focus more on what I need to do here at home or to conduct my online classes. Okay, so that has been my experience about the conflict between the conduct of classes and home duties, because, you know, online classes are not simply classes that are set in a particular physical setting, and I have to set up, for example, my laptop and other equipment, especially since I cannot do this from the comfort of my phone, no? And hence, that's why, that's what I think, that sometimes online classes and home duties conflict. Number 9, pacing. Well, this has been quite a challenge for me as well, because not all students have an equal pace in terms of learning. No, they have different learning curves. They have different learning methods. Some students are more visual. Some others are more audio, etc. And in the creation of the modules, in particular, I'm teaching the Rizal course, no, the Life and Works of Rizal. I have handled 3 subjects this past summer term 2020 for the past 6 weeks, which we recently have concluded. The pacing for students can be quite of a challenge, since we have done our modules in a weekly format, and it's a challenge for me. Because not all students can submit on time, and many are asking, for example, for extensions, etc., which would compound their problems further, because the more they extend or the more they ask for extensions, the more that I will have to back-check, no, the backlogs or the missing requirements, and that has been one of my key tasks for the past weekend, to locate and to see that many of those who still have lacking requirements they have actually submitted their lacking requirements so that they will be graded. Now, I hate to fail some of my students, but if they really lack a lot of requirements, then I have no choice but to do so. No, that's out of my hand, really. But in this pandemic, we have been challenged to do online learning. Says for me, this is very unfamiliar. So unfamiliar, in fact, that it's forcing me to think about the major paradigms of teaching that I have become accustomed to, especially the traditional way of lecture, which is prevalent in the social sciences in general. Okay, so that's it. Pacing. Number 8, missing human connections. Now, as an educator, yes, this is very crucial as well in the learning process of children, or not children really, but young adults, since we're talking about tertiary education here. I'm a tertiary level educator. This human connection is not only affecting students, but also profoundly affecting teachers like me. I used to spend my days, no, before the quarantine hit, I used to spend my days not only in the classroom with the students, which is the majority of my time as an instructor, but also I miss my days when we would I miss the activities where we would organize meetings for the class or for the student org, which is the Husseinian Political Science Society. And even before that, no, in my capacity as an advisor, also I was also an advisor to Cebu Normal University's Polykratos Society. So those were very memorable times. We would spend a lot of effort and time in creating or planning for forums, planning for student activities, etc. And this human connection, this lack of human connection, which is often substituted quite poorly with online chats via social media or via platforms like Zoom and Google Classroom, the missing component of human connections is really affecting not only the physical well-being of teachers, but even its mental health. No, me personally, I felt this heavily once the full effect of the lack of classes has been made very clear, especially when I was conducting the summer term, no, the online classes for the Rizal courses. So no longer can we conduct, for example, face-to-face discussions, which were quite fun in its own right, and no longer am I able to do much of the activities that I used to do and I have come to love over the years, especially activities involving organizational activities with the different organizations that I used to advise as a student organization advisor, and in general as a faculty member as well, no? So that's one of the things that I really miss. I miss the human connection, and it has become a challenge as to how to conduct the online classes. To be honest, I sometimes feel like a robot chatting over or giving my instructions over chat or simply recording them via podcast. Okay. 7, reliance on data. Now, to clarify, what I mean by data is data in terms of cell phone data, you know, the load that you use to buy you some time surfing the net or accessing many of your crucial applications, Gmail, for example, Facebook, even Spotify and Anchor, which is quite the case for me recently because of the podcast. Okay, so in that regard, reliance on data. Because of poor connection, and we'll get to bad connection later on, because of poor connection, I have been forced to rely heavily on cell phone data. Now, it's not the most reliable of all forms of connection or internet connection or access to the internet. I understand that this data is also quite expensive, no? It takes, for example, in about a week, I consume about 100 pesos worth of data, and in this time of pandemic where it's very hard to withdraw money, that has been an issue for me, no? Consuming data just to be able to access the crucial applications in terms of internet access. And not only that, I use data heavily in most lately in the checking of outputs, especially since my Wi-Fi connection is not that reliable, no? Shout out to PLDT. So that's one of the greatest challenges, and I have yet to find a solution or an alternative to data packages in terms of how do I access my internet connection. How do I enhance my internet connection? So sorry about that. Okay, number 6, technical difficulties. I'm no IT expert, and certainly I'm no hardware expert in terms of PCs or personal computers. And yes, I have had also a lot of issues, especially with my aging laptop over here. The technical difficulties can really alter or can really hamper my ability to conduct my classes, especially when this old laptop hangs, no? And that's, I think that's really a huge handicap on my part, and I should have invested in quality equipment before the quarantine, but because of my stinginess, I was not able to do so, and I didn't foresee that it would be this long, no? It has been months. I was expecting only weeks, but now it's been months. So yeah, there's been a lot of technical difficulties, but these technical difficulties largely stem from aging equipment, in my case at least. Number 5, so many student concerns. Yes, this has been a source of, to be honest, it has been a source of headaches for me, because much of the student concerns, especially when my internet is down and I cannot rely on the data, they would pile up over the day. No, and these are, most of them are concerns regarding technical issues, which I have mentioned earlier, I am not so adept at handling. And because of this, this becomes a sort of a quagmire for me. There are days when there are some days when I would just spend answering student concerns because of that. And I think that's one of the things that we have to really streamline, especially in our modular classes. How do we address student concerns in a very swift fashion, what we would call as perhaps an assembly line fashion, no? Because while it is imperative to address student concerns, these are not the only things that I have to work on a daily basis. I still have to check outputs, for example. I still have to read materials for the next lecture. I still have to, most importantly perhaps, I still have to gather or to create new modules for different classes as well, especially that first semester is coming. So that's really, concern number 5 is really I would call this as a burden for me, because many of those concerns could have been answered by a dedicated staff of, let's say, IT specialists or in-house troubleshooters, no? So as an educator, I find that quite challenging, no? It's not my cup of tea. It's not something that I look forward to, but I have to deal with that every day. 4th concern, late hour consultations. Okay, I have set guidelines about this one regarding late hour consultations. However, I also understand that perhaps the strongest internet connections that many of my students have, and many of us would relate with this, most of the hours that we have the strongest internet connections are usually in the dead of night, usually around 10 o'clock to 3 a.m. no, at dawn. So late hour consultations can be quite a bummer, considering that I am, for example, tired the whole day, checking outputs, making lectures, revising materials for modules, etc. And then I still have to work late into the night. So very little sleep for me in certain instances, but not all the time, no. So late hour consultations are not something that I look forward to, but yet again I have to deal with it, no. So this is one of the challenges. Do I have adaptation to late hour consultations? Yes, I usually put off most of my emails or my chats, especially in the online classes, in a special bin, no, to put them on hold, and I answered them on specific times of the day. So that's what I did much later on in the summer term. But was it effective? In many instances, yes. But many students were concerned, and they have been contacting me in my private social media account, which, by the way, is not separate and is the only social media account I have over at Facebook. So it can be intrusive of my privacy as well. So I think concern number four is about privacy and some time for myself. Third, very resource intensive. That's true, especially if we connect this to concern number seven or challenge number seven, which is reliance on data. Very resource intensive. How is the conduct of online class resource intensive? Well, first, you have to invest, for example, a lot of your effort and time. And those are two crucial resources, especially in this time of pandemic. Now, I know many of you will be saying, but you're just at home. You're working from home. That's true. However, working from home doesn't mean that we have nothing to do at home. Remember concern number 10, home duties? So that's the thing. It's very resource intensive in terms that the time that you consume sometimes for home duties will be jealously taken over by your online classes. So that's one of the resources that I consider as vital in addressing or in our daily going with this pandemic, time. Okay. Aside from that, there's also the issue of money, and this relates to concern number seven yet again, the reliance on data. Imagine I have to spend about 100 pesos per load that I buy, no? That lasts me about a week or even less when there is very intensive work to do and there are a lot of seminars to attend to, etc. So I believe if my accounting is right, I have spent about in the past 6 weeks? I have spent about 1,500 pesos on load alone. So that's quite a hefty chunk, although I'm still earning my income, but still, in this time of uncertainty, no, you really have to hold on to your cash. So that's why I think it's very resource intensive. Okay, so that's the third concern for me. The second concern, the second most important, that is, the lack of real-time communication. Yes, this is really a huge issue, especially if we relate this to the previous concerns, like concern or challenge number five, so many student concerns, challenge number four or concern number four, late hour consultations, and then challenge number eight or concern number eight, missing human connections. The lack of real-time communications mean the following for me. One, there's a huge gap in providing serious learning opportunities for your students. In what way? The lack of real-time communication can be very awkward, especially when you are conducting lectures. This is my experience. I cannot have, for example, questions in my lectures, because most of my lectures, and I have and I have agreed with this one, or I have made an agreement with this one with my students, I have decided to make most of my lectures in podcast format, and they are saved in a drive separate from what we have here as a podcast, simply because not all of my students have Spotify. Only a small percentage of them have access to Spotify, which was quite surprising for me. So in that regards, they cannot ask questions in real time because the lectures are in podcasts. And if they do ask questions, they often ask it, let's say, in chat or in email, which by the time that I get to answer it, I would be bogged down with other concerns, especially late hour consultations, no? So the lack of real-time communication, especially in the lecture department, would really, or is really making it awkward for me to conduct my lectures as if I'm just talking to myself. That's not how I'm used to lectures, no? When I conduct lectures, for example, in my classrooms, there are often a lot of questions asked and a lot of, let's say, interactions with the students. It would be fun, it would be interactive, but not so much in this time, no? Second, aside from the lack of questions, the lack of interaction in lectures, I find that the lack of real-time communication is also hampering my dealings with my fellow faculty, for example, in the conduct of online classes. Usually, when we have to, let's say, for example, collaborate with a lesson, no, in what we call collaborative teaching, I would simply talk to them over, let's say, in the faculty office, tell them about certain activities in my class. I would invite them to a forum, etc. But because of a lack of a physical setting or real-time connection or real-time communication with my fellow faculty members, that has become prohibitively hard to do. In my case, no, there are activities that I would like to invite them to, that I would like their input on, but considering that they also have their e-classes, they also have different concerns, and most importantly, different access to the internet, that's really a huge problem on my part, because we can no longer collaborate effectively, unlike in the pre-quarantine days where you can find everybody in one setting, you would just talk to them and boom, you can collaborate your activities, your forums, your faunas, etc. Forums, your conferences, etc. So I think this is all that I can say about challenge number two, the lack of real-time communication. And lastly, we go to the first and perhaps most important concern or challenge that I encountered in the conduct of online classes: bad connection. Yes, you heard that right. Bad connection, or the lack of connectivity, sometimes even for days, no? Now, it's no secret that the Philippines has a very bad internet infrastructure, and this really is causing a huge digital divide between the haves and the have-nots. Those with access with the best internet connection in the country are often paying a lot to secure that access, while those who can barely afford internet are left behind in the so-called new normal of online teaching, distance learning. And this is at the core of perhaps one of the most important debates for students and faculty in line with the pandemic, no, in the time of the pandemic, which is the proposal for an academic freeze. Okay, but we will not go into detail about the academic freeze. I have a stored recording of what we have talked about with students about this one, no? And I will turn that into a podcast in some later time. But I want to focus as our discussion back to bad connection. Bad connection is, I believe, the root of all problems of the online classes. Why? Because without proper or without good access to internet services and internet accessibility, bad connection is the core determinant whether you can still pursue education at a time like this, no? And the lack thereof, the lack of good internet access can mean the difference between passing and failing, and that's literally true. And how much more so for teachers as well, no? When teachers have to conduct online classes, for example, bad connection is a huge bane for all of us. No, the students will not learn, the teachers will get frustrated and will not be effective in their jobs, and that will reflect badly on their evaluation as well, no? So in that sense, this connectivity problem is not something that individuals have to deal with alone, but this is something that is systemic. And as a systemic problem, this should be addressed as a public concern. It's not just the concern of private institutions, for example, but it should be a concern of government in general. Because with no end in sight as to the pandemic for now, online learning is king in terms of tertiary education. No? Again, online learning is king in terms of tertiary education in this new normal of distance learning. And those without access to the internet or those with very poor access to the internet are going to be disenfranchised and marginalized in this new setup. Okay, so I believe I've said everything that I can say about my experiences in the conduct of online classes. Thank you for listening to Kasinatian, Kasayuran, Kasaysayan, Kamatuuran. And I'll catch you on the next one. This has been your host, Ryan Dave Ryla. Goodbye.